Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
This is Internet Marketing. Hello everybody and welcome to episode 92 of Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. Now for those of you who are looking for your perfect online opportunity, your perfect career path, look no further. You are in for a treat today because Kelvin is interviewing John Williams, author of Screw Work, Let's Play, How to Do What You Love and Get Paid for It, coming up now on Internet Marketing.
So, John, can you tell us a bit about your book, Screw Work, Let's Play, kind of what's the idea behind that, what you're trying to achieve, and a little bit of kind of about the history of the creation of that book?
Yeah, the book is about how to get paid to do what you love. And a lot of people talk about that, but I didn't really see many other people talking it in very practical terms about how to take the things you absolutely love doing and make an income stream, and probably a full-time income stream out of it. There's a lot of people talking very esoteric terms, like the law of attraction, and there's a lot of people talking about, you know, the nitty-gritty of marketing. And I felt like there was a gap for something that covers a much broader span and is accessible to a lot of people. And it certainly seems to have gone down well. It's you know, it reached the top 20 in W.H. Smith's, and it's pretty consistently one of the best-selling books on the Amazon careers list. It reached the Amazon bestseller list and was featured in the Times twice, once in the Sunday Times and once in the Saturday Times. So I've been surprised by how well it's gone down.
Oh, no. It seems to be doing very well. And I know that I've come across it and enjoyed my kind of appreciation of it as well. I wonder, John, then, so you talk about kind of the book's all about, doing what you really, really enjoy and kind of playing rather than working. What do you think's the, and you said people talk about it a lot, but not so many people do. What do you think's the biggest thing holding people back from making that leap across and really doing, what they want on that side of things?
I think it's belief, and it's a combination of things. You need to, first of all, if you really want to, it actually comes into two things. One is people have no idea what they say. They have no idea what they'd like to do, what work they'd really enjoy. In actual fact, it is in us somewhere, because the work you enjoy will be things you enjoy doing anyway when you're not getting paid. However, you may never have done it as work, and you may not be able to conceive of how you get paid for it. But in order to get there, what you need to do is allow yourself to do real blank sheet thinking. You need to think, if I could have anything in the world, what would I actually do? And the exercise I set in the book is, if I gave you a year's salary right now, plus 10K or whatever you need, if your salary is frankly not enough right now. So you've got a living wage, but you're not a millionaire. And you've also got a blank check for any sort of experiences you want to pay for. If you want a round the world air ticket, you can do it. If you want to buy a castle to renovate, you've got the money for that. But it's not about buying stuff like a sports car, just to have a sports car. So given that scenario, what would you do then? You've got 12 months. Because you might say, okay, well, actually, I'm going to sleep for a month the way you've been working, or I'm going to, catch up with friends. That's great. So go do that. Go travel the world for 3 months. By the end of that, but you're probably going to think, well, I don't really want to sit on the beach drinking cocktails for the rest of my life. Believe it or not, not many people really want to do that. You might want to do it for a while. So what would you do? What projects would you take on? And if you know what those are, then the question becomes, how can I get paid for work that's actually very like that or gives me some of the experience of that right now and start building that rather than waiting for someone handing me a salary. So that's one of the keys.
And I mean, do you think that, so I can really understand that. That's a great place to start there. So it's that kind of about understanding, you know, what it is you really want to do and what will really bring you enjoyment and, you know, enlightenment of the work you're doing.
Yeah.
But do you think is there a bit of a challenge for people like that who dive in and do work that they really, really enjoy, that then they kind of struggle with that work-life balance a bit more? Do you know what I mean? So it's kind of, if it's something you enjoy doing, does that mean you do it all the time? So actually you end up, you think you're getting this huge advantage by quitting the 9-to-5 and doing, not having a boss anymore. But essentially all you're doing is then working, 12, 13, 14 hour days, doing something that you enjoy to the extent that you might no longer enjoy. Is that a bit of a risk, do you think, John?
It is. Well, one of the risks is, of course, when something's so enjoyable, but it feels like play rather than work, then it's quite difficult to know when to stop because, But if you listen to your subconscious, I guess, and your body, and you'll get signs when really you want to stop work, even though you love it. And then there's this other thing of what happens if you end up doing just too much of it. There will be periods of that, because I'm not pretending that play doesn't mean things are effortless. Certainly in a startup phase, for instance, you like to be putting a lot of time and effort in, for want of a better word. But it's a very different experience to doing something where you've just got to do it because it's your job and you actually don't particularly enjoy it. And ultimately, you need to find a way to make that scale so you don't work 14 hours a day just to get by. There'll be periods of that, and then there'll be, you get to a point where you can make that a lot simpler and automate some of it. So it shouldn't do. The key, of course, is to get paid to do what you love. The key I identify in the book is you need to solve a problem. So if you're just doing something because you love it and you go and write poetry on a mountain somewhere and never actually show it to anyone, it's probably going to be quite difficult to earn a living. Very difficult. So you have to ask yourself if it addresses a pain or if it addresses a problem people have and they know that they have and they are desperate already to solve, then that's something you'll almost certainly be able to get paid for. And that's the test. So that's why I'm saying the book's not about going, just go and do whatever you fancy and it'll just work out. You still need that. You need that connection between things you love doing and what the world wants from you. Aristotle said about 3,000 years ago, where the needs of the world and your talents cross, there lies your vocation. And that's about that's the best entrepreneurship advice and careers advice I've ever heard. And it's 3,000 years old, 2003.
No, that's a brilliant quote there. I really, really like that. And I mean, there's one concept that I've seen in your work that I kind of like the idea of that I think, might be worth explaining and expanding a bit more, which is that of the play check. Can you explain a bit more about that kind of concept and, how that applies to people?
Yeah, you have to accept that if you're going to do something radically different that you've not got a track record in, it's probably going to be a while before you get paid. There are ways of speeding it up by using your talents and in a different field and that kind of stuff, but it's probably going to take a while and it's not going to magically switch on a full-time income. And there's an important point where you've started doing something for free or for fun, maybe in your spare time when you've still got a job, and then at some point you actually go, okay, I'm going to test this, I'm going to get paid. And there's a milestone when you get your first bit of money, even if it's quite small, for something you love doing. The point of getting paid to play, as I call it, is that you're getting paid for something you do, even if you didn't need the money.
Yeah.
So I would still be talking about stuff like this. I'd still be reading interesting books. I'd still be telling people exciting ideas. I'd still be messing around on the internet because that is just fun. I might do a bit less of it and, I might do it on a beach somewhere. But those are all things I can work towards over the long term. So, that's the ultimate aim to get paid to play. But the first milestone is your first play check. That first tenner or some trivial amount of money, as it often is. The first pound you make from internet marketing is a big milestone, isn't it?
Yeah. No, I think you're very right there. That kind of that, you know, I think a lot of the best business ideas I've seen from my peers and colleagues starts out as something they're doing for kind of beer money almost, you know, that kind of, I'd probably do this anyway. And, you know, it's not too much skin off my back to do it. And if I can make a few quid off it, that's great. And then suddenly they then find that because they've got that passion and that understanding of the activity that they're partaking in, they actually find that much easier to build a business off the back of that than if they'd have gone out and said, okay, I'm going to start off with a business plan and you know, follow it all through.
And, like they would and if you, you've got to enjoy it, because ultimately you probably are going to be putting in quite a lot of time, at least at the beginning. And if you don't enjoy it, that you won't have the enthusiasm that carries you through. If you choose a niche in your marketing just because it's a good niche that has money, but it doesn't interest you in the slightest, it's going to be a really hard slog. Mm. Choose the thing that you read magazines about anyway, because then everything you do is basically supporting that work and making you more and more qualified and making you stand out more from your competitors.
Mm. Do you think that, is there enough places that everybody could do this, as it were? Because, you know, there's only so many yoga teachers that the world needs, as it were, or so many kind of, you know, cycling tour guides the world needs. Do you think that there's kind of a limit to these kind of types of more lifestyle businesses out there? Or is there an angle for everyone if they are solving that right pain point that you talked about?
Well, the ever assumption, of course, is that you have to do the first thing you enjoy, which is not true. So if you do love writing poetry, or you do love creating art, these are things that are famously difficult to get paid for, not impossible. Mm. And you can be creative about that. And I talk about it a bit in the book and give some examples. Mm. However, if you want a bit of an easier life and you want to get paid really well, and you'd like to do that fairly soon, then what you can do is ask yourself, what is the experience of writing poetry or doing yoga that is so my most favorite part? What's the part I love most about it? There's always a way of having the part you love most and of having the broader experience. So if you want to be a...
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Rock star, but actually you're 50 and kind of, you know, not great looking, and, you know, you can't play any music or sing.
Yeah.
But you're drawn to being a rock star. It's a message. It's saying you shouldn't write that off. You should go, when I dream about being a rock star, what is it that's so exciting about that little daydream? Mm. And if it's being the center of attention, there are other ways of doing it. You know, I'm doing it right now. You're doing it, Kelvin, to a certain extent. So there's other ways of doing it. And I, you know, I had a little play with stand-up comedy, and I thought, do I want to spend the next year or two in rooms above pubs, getting paid nothing, doing the same material to people who aren't very appreciative? And I actually thought, well, now what I do is I do inject humor into what I do, and it's actually just as satisfying as standing up and telling jokes.
Yeah.
In fact, I tell jokes anyway in my talks.
Yeah, no. I think that's a good approach to take there, really, on that sort of thing. So most of our listeners, then, they're kind of marketers, or that, you know, marketing's part of their job. Do you think that gives them kind of a stronger hand, you know, when they're kind of setting up these own businesses, because they implicitly get marketing? Is it kind of harder if you've not got that marketing background behind you?
I think you can learn it. Yeah, I knew nothing about marketing unless I inherited it from my father, possibly. But I knew nothing about marketing when I was younger, and I learned it all by trying to go self-employed several times and failing many years ago, and then eventually getting the hang of it and selling myself, and then working out what makes other people sell and other things sell, and working for Deloitte and seeing how they sell, you know, million-pound projects. And it's if you just interested in learning and you're interested in marketing, you can pick it up. But if you already know it, then you are an advantage. The snag you might have is you might be inclined to be too practical. So you might be on the other side of the fence, where you too quickly go, yeah, but there's no market for that. Whereas in actual fact, pretty much anything you can think of doing, someone somewhere in the world is getting paid for it, and they've done it in a very creative way. That, you know, like I say, some examples like being a rock star are really challenging to get paid well for. But some people have done it, and you can always look at them and go, how have they done this thing? How have they turned this niche, which famously pays nothing whatsoever, into a good income stream? And can I hold that?
Yeah, and so, because you talked a bit there about getting paid for it and the rate you do that. I know you mentioned before we actually started recording, John, about a piece of content that you've got up on your site for free at the moment about charging, being able to charge more for your services. I know a huge number of our listeners are kind of freelancers or maybe have one of these kind of part-time hobbies where they're getting paychecks at the moment, but not necessarily getting much from it. Is there any kind of general tips and advice about that you can share quickly that kind of is in the content that you were talking about there?
A few things. First of all, you'd be amazed what you can do when you ask. So reason I got paid over $1,000 for one of my first ever pieces of freelance writing, and the reason I got paid two or four times more than anyone else in consultancy, and I got my rate up to over £1,000 a day, was because I dare to ask. I did also have talent and skill, and that matters, and you have to believe in the talents and skill you have. And specializing, if you want to charge well, is really useful. And what first thing I do with my clients is when they go, you know, I can't put my rates up, it's too much competition, I go, well, then you've not defined yourself well enough. Because, again, you come right back to the beginning and go, what's the bit of this work you really love doing? Couldn't you build this into something people really need? And then you're unique and you're motivated and your whole life has been pointing in that direction. So my copywriter client, for instance, bored out of his brain writing financial reports and stuff. He's a novelist. He's actually a successful novelist. And I said, well, why don't you make it all about finding the story in what these people do? And he was so excited about it. And now he's got a unique angle and he's, you know, he's got a whole different story to tell, and that's and getting a lot more traction.
No. I definitely think that's a good way of going about it. It's but kind of the more specialist your skill set is, therefore the more valuable it is. Yeah, I think you're right to point that out there, John. So a question I've kind of got here is, I know, you know, and I'm sure, you know, when writing this book, you know the greatest intention in the world, but there is a danger of these types of books, isn't there, that they almost become a type of procrastination for the people who read them. You know, we all know those kind of person who've got, you know, 101 books about entrepreneurship but still kind of works in, you know, works for the man, as it were. What can you do as kind of an author behind it to try and encourage people to make that step and not just kind of use the experience of reading these books as a type of procrastination, really?
Well, it's a central theme of the book, and particularly I run a program, the Screw It, Let's Play program, around the book, for particularly people who are still trying to work out what work they want to do. And it all centers on the play project. So we stop you thinking endlessly about stuff, because thinking actually is a lot less constructive than you think it is. It's usually what's keeping you stuck. So you do some of this initial exploration about what work would you like to do. As soon as you've got a vague idea, you start doing it. So you get you start a project, it's just 3 or 4 weeks, do it for fun. You don't worry too much, particularly at the early stages, about how on earth it's going to pay. You dive into it, and in the process of doing it, you discover what you like about it, what you don't, what you're good at, what you're not good at, the style in which you like to work, do I want to work more with people, less with people? You find out so much more by doing it than you do otherwise. And also, once you're doing it and you set a deadline and you say, I'm going to release something at the end of this. So if you want to be a yoga teacher, I'm going to, you know, for the next month, I'm going to go interview 10 successful yoga teachers who actually do make money out of it. And I'm going to create, I don't know, an ebook about it, but also it'll be teaching me. And then I'll go launch my own yoga business.
Yeah.
So that's a great play project. It would be exciting, it'd be fun. You're out there chatting to people, if that's what floats your boat. And you've got somewhere, you're way further down the line in 4 weeks, and you've met loads of useful contacts than if you sit at home going, oh, yeah, but maybe it's not yoga. Maybe it's Tai Chi I'm interested in.
Yeah, no, I think you're right there. And you've kind of almost started to answer what was going to be my final question there, which was kind of what's, you know, for someone who's gone, yeah, I've got a really good idea of the type of work I want to be doing. You know, so they've got over that stage. They know what the project is. Mm. But you kind of, so what's your top tips for that, you know, things to go and do now to kind of start and get that process moving, as it were? You kind of started to touch on the topic there a bit there, John, but what would you say, kind of, okay, I'll finish listening to this podcast now. Yeah. I want to go out and do something about it. What's those first, you know, five or six things they should be looking to do, really?
Throw yourself into it. So do create one of these play projects. Think, what could you create in about 4 weeks, even in your spare time, if you're still in the job at the moment, that will give you a tangible result that you can share, at least with your friends or your, you know, if you've got a mastermind group, one of those kind of groups, or with the world. So you might say, okay, I'm going to launch a blog on this new topic I'm interested in. I'm going to write 3 times a week for the next 4 weeks. And if you just did that, by the end of the month, even if no one ever read the thing, you would be so much clearer about what your thinking was. Your writing would have improved, you would have had new thoughts about blogging and new thoughts about your work direction. If you're at this point where you've made your first play check and you made a bit of money, then your play project could be, how do I get noticed? And maybe it's about partner marketing, where you go, you know, could I go along and could I give my first talk, or could I write a nice piece for someone's newsletter that's going to go out to thousands of people, the link to my site. So but do it in a way that it suits you. If you hate giving talks, don't give talks. But if you love writing, write, and vice versa.
Yeah. No, good. I think that's some very good actionable things for people to go out and do now there, John. So you would we were talking a bit beforehand about some of the content that's up on your site that people can access at the moment. Is it okay to do a quick sort of you know, check of some of the bits people would be able to get from your site and whereabouts they've got to go to have a look for that, John?
Yeah, if you go to screwworkletsplay.com, easy to remember, then you can see your email address in the top, and you can download first of all, the first 42 pages of the book for free, which is the whole first chapter, which will really get you around your head around how this stuff works. And then secondly, you can you'll get some worksheets for finding out what work you'd really enjoy doing. You get a crash course in how to attract more clients for freelancers. That audio class about how to put up your rates without losing clients goes into a lot more depth than I did just now. So there's a whole load of stuff, and it's generally useful. You can also find the book on Amazon, but grab the free chapter first would be my advice.
Brilliant.
Screw
cheers.
Let's play.
Cool. Thanks for that, John. Really appreciate it.
All right. Cheers, Kevin.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150, and you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.